Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Life goes on day after day. Hearts torn in every way.
That's one of the classics right there. That's Ferry Cross the Mersey.
So Ferry Cross the Mersey.
Jerry and the Pacemakers. That's Jerry with a G. Yes, they're from England. Part of the English wave from the Wayback Machine. Welcome back, 17 Tell. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and yes, I am from the Wayback Machine myself. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with a number three, thethirdingredient.com. Charles Whelan is here. He's our guest, 10-year member of our Brain Trust, senior lecturer and policy fellow at Dartmouth College, part of the Rockefeller Center team, author of a bunch of books, including the Rationing. And what's that new book?
We Came, We Saw, We Left, a family memoir, the gap year book, about our time taking off the three kids and traveling.
And we were following him. Charles and I were talking during that time, and so I'm looking forward to getting the book. We want you to let us help you launch it on the show. And it's just now available, right?
It just came out yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, Charles, I've been using the term post-pandemic for months. And maybe it was delusional, maybe it was hopeful. You've heard women talk about rushing the season. You know, I was rushing the pandemic by saying post-pandemic, and hopefully we are entering post-pandemic. What do you think is going to be? What should we be looking forward to?
Well, I'm going to call it the pre-post-pandemic. the season's coming. We bought our clothes, but we're not really going out yet.
Right. Right.
I would say there's good news and bad news. The good news is the economy was strong before the pandemic. Unemployment was remarkably low. We were running hot without any sign of inflation. The pandemic's been devastating for many businesses, but a lot have adapted, so it probably could have been worse. I think the bad news is pre-pandemic, we had some major structural issues that we hadn't addressed. So it's kind of like we painted the house, it looked good, the foundation was cracked, we'd ignored it, and then the garage caught on fire. When we put out the garage fire, the foundation still cracked.
Right.
And I think that's everything from dealing with trade, what our relationship with China is going to be.
But the pandemic revealed our lack of redundancy. That was a good thing.
It did, actually. I think we're going to be rethinking everything from food supply to supply
medicine.
Chains. There's
yep.
going to be a whole, you know, because it happens at a time where our relationship with China, both because of the virus, but also for other reasons, whether it's the Uyghurs or the direction mm-hmm. that China's going, is becoming more fraught.
Right.
So I think our international relationship, Russia's become even less of an ally, if it ever was.
Right.
So I think we're going to have to examine our international relationships. The entitlement programs that were unsustainable before COVID are still unsustainable. Nothing's changed
right.
there. You know, back in the day, we could probably find five people in Washington who were fiscally responsible. I think we're down to maybe one or two, and
yeah.
we don't know where they are.
Right. There are two left, but they're hiding.
Exactly, as they
right.
should, given the...
Right.
You know, so we had the tax cuts during the Trump administration, which grew the deficit, and they were arguably good for the economy, but
right.
they weren't funded, and then... Now we've had tremendous spending. Also,
but when the money when we actually do get this vaccine thing straightened out and we get to the point where we're hopefully not afraid of each other anymore, there's apparently $2 trillion of cash in the hands of regular folks sitting on the sidelines. My banker told me that he has five times the deposits in his bank he ordinarily would have. When things open back up and people start moving around without being afraid, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, aren't we looking
at... Oh, hang on. You know, I want to go out to dinner like five nights in a row, then take a vacation, then come back and go out to dinner again.
But aren't we looking at an exploding economy and possibly exploding inflation?
Maybe. What I don't know is whether people have been spending on durables. Like, there's really no reason now you can't buy a washing machine.
Right.
You probably buy a car. So there's no obvious reason why people would have put off those purchases. Certainly in the hospitality industry, where there's been so much pent-up demand.
Well, part of the problem with the durables is getting them. getting them manufactured and getting them delivered. Even sometimes they'd be in the warehouse, but getting them delivered. I think we may be moving out of that era right now.
Yeah, and some supply chain problems. Certainly couldn't buy. We tried to buy a kayak all last summer and finally bought one used on the side of the road. So it's entirely possible there's a spike. In some ways, it's kind of the opposite of the financial crisis. In the financial crisis, you had folks who were just so terrified to spend because of liquidity constraints, because the wealth from their house had dissipated. You know, it was all about enticing them to spend again. This is the opposite. Everyone's, the pen is poised over the checkbook. It's just a question of when the goods come in and when they can actually do it. So it's entirely possible that you could see a flurry of spending, and I wouldn't rule out that you see some inflation because we've begun to take it for granted that it's never going to appear, even
but
as we
question,
do all the things.
The question is, here's one thing, though, that was you talked about things that were here before that are still here. We still have a disconnect, and this has been going on now. We're in our third decade of this. We still have a disconnect between the unemployed and the jobs that are available. That's a major crisis that nobody's talking about in America.
Some people are. I remember when Rahm Emanuel was mayor of Chicago. I think people down at the local level get that because they're the ones who see the job openings.
Washington isn't doing anything about it, though. Republicans or Democrats. No president in this century has made that a part of their plank. Nope, none. Republican or Democrat has made getting aligning the available workers with the available jobs. Nobody's done that.
Well, here's a hopeful thought. The incoming chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, Cecilia Rouse, who is my former professor, Jim. I took her, the first class she ever taught. I was in that class.
What does she say?
She is an expert in community colleges, so she might be the person to pay attention to
that
gap.
That's very, very interesting. Say her name again.
Cecilia Rouse, C.C. Rouse.
How do you spell her last name? Quickly.
Rouse.
All right, so folks, check that out. Think about that. Quick break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.